I think the which way forward is a question, and I think it should be preceded by two other questions. One of them is where do we want to go? That's fundamental. Always lead to Rome, but are we certain that we want to go to Rome? That would be the first question, and the other one is where are we now? You know, which way we're going to take depends on where we're standing. And the Latino community, immigrant community at large, but mostly Latinos, seven out are Latinos, mostly Mexican, around 60% of them. So I speak mostly about the Latino community, but of course I include many other communities here. And we are more or less in the gates of hell. In the last few years, we have seen exactly what he's describing, an increased enforcement policy against the immigrant community. As of today, every day, under Barack Obama's administration, around 1,100 people a day, again, are being deported. 1,100 immigrants, undocumented immigrants mostly, but not only, are being deported. From right here, the city of Chicago, around 125 to 150 people a week are being detained. Not all of them end up being deported, but they are being detained and taken to the immigration detention centers. This took the ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, to break a world record last year, deporting a total of 395,000 immigrants from the United States. Almost 400,000, which it was their goal. They couldn't accomplish their goal. They were short only 5,000 people of their goal. So that's the Mr. Barack Obama's policy on immigration. They are doing this mostly based on another project born in the Barack Obama administration. This is not even Republican policies just being continued by the Democratic administration, but these are newly, completely new, completely Democrat projects. They created the Criminal Alien Removal Project. And that means that every foreign criminal in U.S. soil has to be deported, basically. Now, that doesn't mean that a criminal, and I'm going to start quoting on quoting here, that doesn't mean the criminal has to be undocumented. The condition is that is a criminal and that is an alien, a foreign person. From the last year's figures, this almost 400,000 people, the GAO, the General Accounting Office, they studied the figure of the 400,000 deportees, and they came up with a number of 56% criminals and 44% non-criminals in the whole program. The 56%, in the 56%, only 16% of the total of 400,000 were real criminals, meaning drug dealers, gangbangers, and one serial killer and something like that. The rest of them, the other 40%, were people who had committed either minor crimes, minor offenses, or offenses of the sort of I am an asylum seeker, a refugee who went through the immigration court system trying to plead my case and lost. Or someone who got married to a U.S. citizen, for instance, but had previously been deported and had re-entered the United States again after the deportation. That person is considered a criminal. So those minor crimes qualify under the Criminal Alien Removal Project. So in the end, around 84% of those deported were not real serial killers, you know, homicides and drug dealers and et cetera, et cetera. We're just very common people who committed minor offenses. Three minor offenses constitute, of course, a major crime according to the U.S. standards of the law. The way this works, we have seen this this program in action. They raided Little Village 2 years ago. Jody Weiss, who's a former FBI guy, put together a whole operation in violation of City of Chicago policies, put together a whole operation on the criminal alien removal project with the FBI, Immigration Customs and Enforcement, the FTA, and I don't know which other federal agencies, to look for people with outstanding warrants. They knock on doors and they ask for, you know, whoever, Juan Perez, and the standard answer they got is, Juan Perez doesn't live here, you know, he hasn't lived here for the last 10 years, because some of these outstanding warrants date from the 1980s and the 1990s, and a few of them from the 2000s. But the standard answer was, no, he doesn't live here anymore. And then the response from this task force was, okay, he doesn't live here, but do you have papers? Because it is legal that in the course of an investigation, they can ask you for your papers. And once you open the door, you have to answer their questions. And they have the right to enter your house and start searching and doing, et cetera, whatever, because they do have a warrant with your address. And supposedly they have the right to, you know, check in your closets and doors and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and detain you. So most of the people detained, 84% of the people detained, were detained in those circumstances. People related or not related to the criminal alien, the task forces, the police and ICE and et cetera, were looking for. So that's what we're dealing with. Notwithstanding this famous project, there's another one in the way, which is called the Secure Communities. Secure Communities is a program with a lot of logic. It makes a lot of sense from the point of view of the different police organizations and police authorities in the United States. Is basically, I mean, in two lines, it means that every time any police department in the whole United States detains somebody, they fingerprint and take a picture of this person, they send it to the FBI to check if you indeed are, you know, Juan Perez, which you say you are, or you are somebody else who changed their name because you are a criminal, not necessarily alien, but you are a criminal. So they send your information to the FBI. That's normal procedure so far. The novelty here with Secure Communities is that Immigration and Customs Enforcement is going to get a copy of that information being sent to the FBI. So regardless of what the FBI says, they may return a, you know, we don't care about this person. He's not in our huge lists of terrorists or criminals or whatever. But the ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, may send the police department a note saying, we don't have a record of this guy. He's maybe an alien. He's not registered. So he may be undocumented. So they put a hold on him. Do not free this person until we pick it up or until we finish an investigation. Starting that moment, you don't even have to be Mirandized. You know, you don't have Miranda rights if you're an undocumented immigrant in the United States. Anybody can interrogate you. Anybody can say anything. You don't have pretty much defense. Pretty newly instituted rule that you may have access to a public defender. But up to December last year, you didn't have access to a public defender. So that's what's coming. And that's only That's under the Democrats administration. Since November last year and since 1 month ago that Republicans took the House of Representatives, go figure what's going to happen. Yeah, if under the Democratic administration, that's what we have been living under, go figure what's going to happen from now on. There are 14 states considering legislation to pretty much to do away with the 14th Amendment, which says that everybody born in the United States is a U.S. citizen. And what we figure is that they are going to approve one very stupid law in one of these states with Republican majority and then force the way all the way to the Supreme Court to have, you know, a consideration on what the heck a U.S. citizen is and if the 14th Amendment applies to sons and daughters of illegal aliens and on and on and on. So which way forward? The Egyptian way. That's what we figure because, you know, I mean, raise your hand if you are willing to go all the way to 2012 to give again the majority of the House and the Senate and the White House to the Democratic Party. Raise your hand if that's what you envision as our future. I don't think so. So I hear there's a lot of Egyptians now in Wisconsin, you know, and they are revolting. And what we figure is if they could topple Mubarak, maybe if we follow the Egyptian way, we may start toppling a governor here and there, you know, or really getting these proposals of legislation, these state laws and this secure communities program, you know, back and send them to hell instead of they sending us to hell. That's what we think we should do. The way forward, I think, is really the Egyptian way, rebelling. And I have to point out that for what I understand, around October last year, civil disobedience now follows falls under the category of a terrorist act, and you can go to jail under national security regulations or something like that. I would like to be sure of that. But I think even civil disobedience can now be qualified as a terrorist act in the United States. So to finish it up, if we are going to do the Egyptian way, I think we have to start organizing. It started as a joke, as a very stupid name put on the immigration movement by the Washington Times, by a Washington Times editorial last year when we were protesting against the immigration law. They labeled us the Tequila Party. You know, since there's Sarah Palin has the Tea Party, people who were demonstrating against these stupid laws like Arizona, they were labeled the Tequila Party. But the name stuck. So we are pretty much in the formation stages of the Tequila Party as a multinational, multiracial, who cares if you have a green card or you are a U.S. citizen, born citizen, blah, 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 whatever person. We are pretty much putting together the Tequila Party, and that's what I think is the way forward. That's what we have to do. You know, create really the third political alternative, not only for election purposes, but really for rebelling and protesting and not allowing the statu quo just to keep going as it is, because we are all going to end up in hell. Thank you much.